Imagine a world where a handful of unelected technocrats wield more power over your financial future than any president or prime minister. This isn't dystopian fiction, it's our economic reality. In 2008, as financial markets collapsed worldwide, central banks transformed from obscure institutions into economic superheroes, embarking on what Mohammed El-Orion calls the most ambitious monetary experiment in history. The Federal Reserve, European Central Bank, and their global counterparts injected trillions into markets and pushed interest rates to unprecedented lows, even negative territory. What began as emergency measures evolved into a prolonged experiment with no historical precedent. These institutions found themselves morally and ethically compelled to address responsibilities that political leaders seemed unwilling to tackle. They hoped to eventually hand off economic recovery to robust growth and job creation. But as years passed, central banks found themselves drawn deeper into uncharted territory, raising profound questions. Would their intervention discourage political action? Would artificial asset pricing lead to excessive risk-taking? Most importantly, would they transition from being part of the solution to becoming part of the problem? The stakes extended far beyond economics. Central bank policies fueled political extremism in Europe, enabled non-state actors in unstable regions, and exacerbated income inequality worldwide. What had begun as emergency intervention morphed into an unprecedented policy experiment affecting generations to come. By the mid-2000s, central banks had achieved godlike status. Alan Greenspan was hailed as the maestro who had conquered inflation while smoothing business cycles. This golden age was enabled by operational autonomy and favorable global conditions, including productivity gains from China's rise and Eastern Europe's integration into global markets. Yet these successes masked troubling developments. Central banks were losing control of increasingly leveraged economies, which fueled excessive credit and lax risk management. They grew complacent in the notion of a great moderation. Even Nobel laureate Paul Krugman admitted having no idea of the fragility of the banking system, a widespread failure among economists. When collapse came in 2008, central bankers entered full panic mode. Fed meeting transcripts revealed profound fear as officials struggled to comprehend the danger. Markets became so dysfunctional that basic financial transactions nearly halted, with the U.S. coming close to declaring a bank holiday that would have shut down the entire financial system. Faced with chaos, central banks pivoted to a highly interventionist whatever-it-takes mode. Markets rejoiced at central banks becoming investors' best friends, creating an environment where intervention was expected whenever asset prices faltered, encouraging risk-taking through borrowing and creating moral hazard on a massive scale. Advanced economies have struggled post-crisis without sustainable growth models. Countries relied on various unsustainable approaches: debt-financed government spending, Greece, Portugal, financial leverage, Cyprus, Iceland, Ireland, UK, US, or exploitation of globalization and China's growth. Lacking internal growth engines, countries now steal growth through currency depreciation, essentially a stealth currency war. Economists initially focused on cyclical factors before acknowledging structural problems. PIMCO's 2009 New Normal concept accurately predicted sluggish growth rather than a V-shaped recovery, a view that gained acceptance as economic mediocrity persisted. High unemployment, particularly among youth, risks transforming the unemployed into the unemployable, threatening not just a lost decade, but a lost generation. This creates severe consequences: diminished production, budget pressures, inadequate demand, and strained social safety nets. Simultaneously, El-Orion's inequality trifecta, unequal income, wealth, and opportunity, has worsened. The gap is most dramatic at the top, with the top 0.1% now owning 22% of America's wealth, triple their share from 40 years ago. Central bank policies have inadvertently exacerbated inequality by supporting financial assets primarily held by the wealthy, creating adverse feedback loops that undermine growth. Institutional credibility has eroded significantly since the financial crisis. The public remains bewildered by government decisions to bail out banks with trillions, while few bankers face consequences for irresponsible risk-taking. Nearly a decade later, banks still face legal fines for market and interest rate manipulation. Political dysfunction has intensified this trust erosion. The U.S. Congress failed to deliver budgets for 5 consecutive years, experienced government shutdowns, and nearly defaulted. In Europe, problems persist both internally and between nations, with countries prioritizing their own narratives over collective solutions, leaving the Eurozone structure incomplete and vulnerable. This national dysfunction has undermined global policy coordination, creating what Ian Bremmer terms a G0 world, where no country or bloc can effectively drive an international agenda. The result is an international monetary non-system where short-term self-interest prevails without consideration of long-term consequences. As architectural reform attempts stall, peripheral nations have begun building alternative systems. The BRICS countries, dissatisfied with Western dominance, have created initiatives like the New Development Bank and the China-led Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, potentially establishing a parallel system that diminishes Western influence.
While banks have become significantly safer through stress testing and capital cushions, systemic financial risks haven't disappeared. They've migrated to non-bank sectors. As Greg Ipp describes, squeezing risk out of the economy can be like pressing down on a waterbed. The risk often reemerges elsewhere. A critical market risk is the liquidity delusion, investors falsely believing they can easily reposition portfolios when needed. Despite evidence showing broker-dealers' unwillingness to absorb risk during market shifts, investors continue assuming ample market liquidity. This disconnect creates vulnerability to cascading disruptions where price overshooting forces capitulation of over-leveraged participants. Markets have exhibited anomalous correlations defying historical patterns. In 2014, U.S. equities earned 14%, while safe government bonds simultaneously appreciated significantly, a correlation that shouldn't exist between risky and risk-free assets. These breakdowns undermine market differentiations and distort signals, threatening resource misallocations. Central bankers hope artificially elevated prices will eventually promote genuine economic expansion. The scarier alternative is increasing policy ineffectiveness, where financial risk-taking remains unvalidated by fundamentals, leading to criticism that central banks manipulated markets and contributed to major misallocations.
Ellerian suggests we're approaching a T-junction. Our current economic path will soon end, forcing us toward either a materially better world or a materially worse one. This outcome isn't predetermined, but can be influenced by our collective actions. The global economy faces increasing instability driven by 5 intensifying trends: multi-speed growth, diverging central banking policies, pricing anomalies, non-economic headwinds, and disruptive innovations going macro. These trends make the middle ground increasingly unstable. Looking ahead, expect growing divergence among 4 groups: improving economies, United States, India; stabilizing economies, China; stagnating economies, Europe, Japan; and volatile wildcards, Russia, Brazil. To navigate this landscape, Ellerian recommends a reduced form approach with 4 policy anchors: pursuing inclusive economic growth instead of financial engineering, addressing chronic deficiencies in aggregate demand, removing debt overhangs, and completing unfinished architectural work in Europe and the international system. We stand at a pivotal moment in economic history. Our path will be shaped by whether we continue relying on central banks or implement comprehensive policies that unleash productive powers. the future of our economic prosperity, the foundation of social cohesion, political stability, and individual opportunity, hangs in the balance.